This thought we've been working on, we started it last week, and that is encounters build faith and experiences raise expectations. And it comes down to, for us, there's an age-old question in all of us, I think. We were born with it. We walk through our lives with it. And I don't know when it goes away. I don't know if it ever goes away. But the question becomes, does my life matter? Does my life matter? And I think when you're younger, you think, yes, it matters because you're a two-year-old and everything matters to you, right? But then as you start to get into preteens and teens, I see it especially in my guys when they started doing preteens and teens, there was this hunger that started to build. This hunger. And I'm not sure that it doesn't increase even greater as you go into your 19, 20, 21, 22. This hunger of, does my life matter? Am I created for something bigger than what I am? And so in that question, in that struggle, it's kind of like when you go to India or any other place and you see people that are starving, and they're starving for food. So when we go to the homeless places in India and we hand out bread, it's like they mob you to get that one little piece of bread. I mean, it's just like just grabbing and pulling. And that same hunger in our physical bodies when we're hungry, I think inside of us emotionally and spiritually, there's that same hunger. And the longer you go without any kind of nutrients, any kind of refreshing in it, the more starving you get, the more you want to grasp anything that comes along. And so as a church body, we have a whole spectrum of people. We have people that every now and then get a little trinket of food that thinks, you know, maybe I do matter, maybe I am. And so they're starving, but they're just looking for anything to make it. And then you have the people that maybe are in that place in life where they're like, you know what, I know my life matters. I know I'm doing something, but I feel like I could do more. I just kind of could do more. Same thing with food. Has anybody ever ate one big meal and then for the rest of life you never wanted to eat? Anybody here? Anybody ever ate on Thanksgiving and then you fasted the whole rest of the year till next Thanksgiving? No? Why? You eat that Thanksgiving meal and then by Friday you may still feel a little yucky, but you're still what? Wanting a little bit of food. You start to stretch that stomach, that starvation. And it's the same thing with God, and it's the same thing with what God has called in us, is when we start to even actually touch God and start to see that we matter sometimes, we can't get enough of it. And our experiences continue to rise and stuff. And so today I want to kind of take that question, and I want to try to lead us through some scripture and through some thoughts of how we as people, how we as the body of Christ, and how we minister to other people in that same area. And so I'm going to take the story of Peter and John. Peter and John. Everybody know who Peter and John are? Peter and John were two of the disciples that Jesus called. They were fishermen. He called them at the exact same time. They were both on the exact same boats, exact same ministry, exact same fishing, exact same everything. Now, I truly believe that they had that hunger inside of them. Does my life matter? When Jesus came into their life, I think they were hungry. Does my life matter? And they started to come to Jesus, and Jesus started to give them some experiences that would actually make them think that their life matters. Now, one of the things you find about Peter and John, if you continue in the story of the scriptures, is that consistently, when Jesus would do something special, he would take Peter, John, and James, and he would go off with them. If you've read much scripture, you'll find, and Jesus went up to the mountain, and he took Peter, John, and James. Or it says James, Peter, and John, or John, Peter, and James. I can imagine being with 12 guys, and the head guy always picks me to go with him. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that make you feel really special? Don't you feel like your life matters? Right? Wouldn't you feel? Anybody ever play softball or kickball or dodgeball in the playground? And if you were one of the first picks, didn't you feel like, hey, Did you ever feel like when you were the last pick that, hey, right? It kind of makes you want to do better. It kind of makes you hungry. It makes you, and I think with these disciples, this was going on. There's 12 guys that are walking with Jesus, and three of them always get to go with him. Everywhere he gets to go. Nine get left behind at the bottom of the mountain. Peter, James, and John go to the top. Nine of them get to hang out and pick up the food. Peter, James, and John gets to go with Jesus over on the other side. You know, it's just this kind of this constant thing. Now, the thing is, I believe Peter and John have a lesson to teach us as believers with that hunger. Because I think Peter and John, almost being the same age, being the same town, raised in the same occupation, they were pretty much the same kind of expectations of life. They'd had the same experiences. Their expectations had been raised pretty much the same. But we find something different with Peter and John. And I want to go to a scripture, and it's in Luke. And we're going to be in Luke mostly here. And it's Luke 9. And we're going to start with verses 28. And it says, and this is one of those times that Jesus takes Peter, John, and James. So it says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he went up on the mountain to pray, and he took Peter, John, and James with him. See, there's your belonging. Do you matter? These three guys matter to Jesus because he takes them with him. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as that of a flash of lightning. And two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in a shining glory. Jesus and the two of them talked together. And they talked about how he would be leaving them soon, and this was going to happen in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been very sleepy, but then they became completely awake, and they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. Now, wouldn't you feel like, if you're Peter and John, you've had all the same experiences, you've always been one of the top three, now you're getting to see Jesus, and he's hanging out with Moses and Elijah. Would that not be pretty cool? Wouldn't that make you feel like you belong? Don't you feel like the experience that you are now experiencing has raised your expectations of who Jesus is? That's what's going on. Now, Peter, being the man he is, now, he says, he spoke up. Now, I believe Peter was very hungry to matter. Because anytime something happened, Peter was the first one to grab a hold of it. Peter was the first one to speak something. Peter was the one, when Jesus said, who do people say I am? He said, you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He was hungry. He was actually, I believe, starving for attention. He was starving to matter and to belong. And so here he is, he spoke up and he said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Really? It was really good that you were here, Peter? Good for you. What about Matthew and Andrew and Philip? No, it's good for me to be here. Do you see that? Do you see the hunger coming out? That reaching for that last crumb, whatever it is. Gimme, 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 right? It's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters. One will be for you, one will be for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter didn't really know what he was saying. When we are starving for that to belong and to matter, we say things and we will do things out of our experiences that are just not really quite right. Have you ever been around somebody that's, you heard the word narcissist? You know what a narcissist is? What's a narcissist? Anybody want to tell me what a narcissist is? Huh? No, that's an arsonist. Good job with that, though. Narcissist is what? The person that it's all their life is about themselves. Peter is the classic narcissist because he said, it's good for me to be here. It's all about Peter. Do you see that? And not only that, it's good that I'm going to build you three shelters. I'm going to make you a place that we can all come and worship and we will find it. you know narcissists, because when you start to tell them a story, they have to interrupt you to tell you their better story. Right? Have you ever been with those kind of people? That, you know, I've got, you know, I woke up this morning and I just had a hurting back. Oh, well, goodness gracious me. You should have seen me yesterday. Right? And it's always something bigger or better. Or, you know, hey, you know what? God really blessed me with, you know, a certain kind of food this week. Oh, well, you know what? I got to eat such and such, right? And you can never outdo them, and you can never outtalk them, and they're always, that's Peter. Do you see that? They don't even know what they're saying. They're just continually to, because they're starving to belong. They're starving to belong. And Peter was finding a place to belong. He was having all these experiences with Christ, and his expectation just kept rising. Now, here's the thing, is when you're starving, you can never fill yourself up emotionally. You can never fill yourself up with things and experiences. Experiences will never fill you emotionally. So with my kids this year, we took our big trip across country, and we gave them an experience, right, guys? We went, you know, all the way across to California and back. That was a great experience. But if it's just an experience that they had, then the next time we go on vacation, they're going to be asking for a greater experience. It's like going on a roller coaster. If you go on a roller coaster long enough, you want a bigger roller coaster, a faster roller coaster. You want to experience more. It's the adrenaline junkie, right? That kind of thing. You want more. It's the same thing with this belonging. When you want to belong, you're craving to belong. The more experiences you have, it doesn't satisfy you. It just makes you want more experiences. And for Peter, that's what's going on. Now, there's another guy here. His name is John. Peter and John. Do you find Peter saying much in any of these conversations when you see these Peters and Johns? He doesn't really talk. He's not the one that blurts out. I believe that John wanted to have the same thing that Peter wanted. He had the same experience. He had the same expectations. But there's something that's going on different with John. Because when you find out later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they come to arrest Jesus, Peter's looking for a bigger experience. He pulls a sword. You don't find John there. You find John actually follows Jesus all the way to the trial. He follows him all the way into the court. He is standing with Jesus in the courtyard. Peter's at the outside denying Jesus. John is sitting there with Jesus, seeing all this going on. John goes with Jesus all the way to the cross, and he's sitting at the foot of the cross as Jesus gets nailed. How is a man that had the exact same experiences and expectations as he was raised different than his kinsman Peter, and he's actually having the same experiences, but yet he is seeming to not starve to death to belong? And I really believe it comes down to this ideal of encounters. When John was walking with Jesus, he was having encounters with Jesus, not experiences with Jesus. At the last supper table, John, it says, was leaning against Jesus' breast. In other words, he was laying up against Jesus. Now, I can't imagine 12 grown men sitting around a table and one guy just laying on top of another guy. That just seems a little weird to me. But for John, it was that encounter, so that his expectations weren't raised. His faith was being built into who Jesus was. So when he's on the Mount of Transfiguration here, when he sees Moses and Elijah, it's just another building of his faith that I trust Jesus in whatever's going on. I think he had the same hunger to belong. I think he had that same hunger, because I think we all have that. But he was satisfying his hunger with something deeper than the experiences. Peter was going at it like, every experience I get just shows me that I'm a good guy. I'm a belonging. It's good that I'm here. Whereas John, I think, was experiencing these things, but he was saying, you know what, this is a time that I can encounter who Jesus is. experiences are great, Jesus, and love on Jesus, and be loved by Jesus, and the experiences are great, but it's the encounter I'm getting to encounter with God. We've been discussing in our house, how do we make our house a home that our kids want to come back to, even after long after they're gone. Anybody ever had that? Anybody had enough of a family that you're like, you know, I want it to where my home is a place for the kids to come back and love, right? That's kind of what we want. If my hunger is for my kids to come back, for me to belong to them, I will give them experiences, like taking them trips to California or whatever. I will give them experiences, but it only raises their expectation that dad and mom need to do more for me. And so we've been discussing this. How do we bring encounters? How do we build encounters in the relationship between me and the kids, between my wife and the kids, between us as a family, so that it doesn't raise expectation, but it builds trust in the structure of the family? And I don't have the answer for that yet. All I can do is tell you that I know it's there and I'm going to continue to work on it. But even for us as a body of Christ, we come here and we worship. And sometimes the computer crashes and the new song that we've just put into the computer gets deleted because we didn't get it saved, because it only saves it when you get out of the program. And so you're sitting here with a great experience of worship. And then Jeremiah says, follow along with the words. And Caleb's back there going, I don't have no words. The computer crashed. That's an experience. And it either raises your expectations or it raises your disgruntle in the church, right? It's one of those kind of things. But we come and we worship. We experience the same worship. We have the same songs. We have the same lights on, lights off. Same guitars, same songs, same rhythm. You sit and listen to me teach. You're having the same experience right now. Some of you, when you come and you come to worship service, you have an experience that raises your expectation level, and it's like you're starving and you're hungry, and you're like, you know, I just need more. I need more God's presence. I need, and it's not satisfying you. It's like eating junk food for an Ethiopian. Giving him McDonald's, it's not going to do him any good. Some of you come and we wouldn't do anything. We just give you a time of just some music, some whatever, but you're encountering God because it's that encounter that you know builds your faith. Some of you, when you go out to your work and your ministry, you're having experiences with God. You pray for God to do things in your life, and it's a great experience, but it just raises your expectation that I need more God to do such and such. Some of you in your jobs, you have something happen, and it encounters you, and you're like, you know what, this builds my faith. This makes me trust God's character more. My faith is built. I'm not needing those kind of experiences. See, it comes down to, really, is what are you hungry for? If you're hungry to satisfy yourself, if you're hungry because you're like, I need something, I desire something, I need to feel like I belong, I need to feel like I matter. If you're only doing church, if you're only doing God, if you're only doing the spiritual things to make yourself feel like you matter, you're going to be like Peter. And when the tough times come, Satan's going to sift you like wheat and make you decide whether or not you really want to be a part of it. And there's a lot of people that I know have experienced great things in the kingdom of God, healings and miracles and awesome moves of God, and they've experienced great things, but they're never satisfied. It just continues to raise their expectations, and they continue to look for the next big revelation. They look for the next big thing to happen. They look for the next revival and whatever. And it's okay to go to revivals and see those big experiences and the winter jams or whatever, you know. It's great to do those kind of things. But unless you go into it understanding, I cannot use this to fulfill a hunger inside of me. I've got to use this to encounter a God that loves me. you will continue to starve. You will continue to just have expectations that cannot be fulfilled. You will continue to run that race. See, Peter didn't have his encounter until after Jesus was dead, buried, raised again on the third day. And he had been coming to him. He had been coming to him and seeing him in the upper room and doing stuff like that. But Peter still says, you know what? Jesus didn't meet my expectations. I thought we were going to have an earthly kingdom. I thought something great. You know what? I'm just going to go back to fishing. His encounter didn't come until that lake seaside when he swam ashore to be next to Jesus. And Jesus asked him some questions. He says, Peter, do you love me? You remember those questions? Because he was getting it down to what Peter needed to have an encounter with, not the experiences he needed to raise his expectations. He says, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? It's not whether or not you belong or whether I love you. It's what do you bring to me? An encounter is what I bring to Christ. An encounter comes like I am coming to get with you. It's not what you are giving me. Hungry person comes to eat. A satisfied comes to serve. And I'm not talking about serving food truthfully. I'm talking about what do you do in praise and worship? What do you do with teaching? What do you do when you're at work? What do you do when you pray? Are you just hungry for God to meet a need? Then you're great. It's great. It's awesome. You had experiences. It's going to raise your expectations. But understand that expectation will eventually lead to your ruin, to your denial, to your walking away from God. It's not until you start to have encounters with God, encounters with Jesus, in which you answer the question, I love you. No ifs, ands, or buts. I love you. We talked about last week in marriage. I can have a lot of experiences with my wife. We had a lot of experiences before we got married, called dates. Those are great experiences, but they only raise expectations. It's not until we committed and said, I love you, you love me, we are in this thing together, I'm going to give myself to you. Because marriage is not about what she gives me or what I give her, right? Anybody been married? Do you remember marriage? How does it work the best? Is when we're 50-50, she gives 50% and I give 50%, we make 100%? Nope. It's when I give 100% of myself to it, and when she gives 100% of herself to it, that's when marriage, that's an encounter. It's not of an experience. If I'm giving 50, she's giving 50, that's just an experience. It's just going to raise our expectations of one another. Now, does that mean we don't have experiences? Yes. Does it mean we don't have some expectations of one another? Yes. I know she has some expectations of me that I am just not going to meet. It just ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. You're going to come home and find the kitchen in a mess. And I've been home for an hour. You know, you think after we've been married 18 years, she'd already figured that out. You know? But her experience tells her that she should expect something from me. I don't know what it's got to do with the kitchen, but for some reason it does, right? When I come home, I have expectations of her. You know, I want her to meet me with a kiss. You know, I want her to meet me at the door. I want her to meet me with this lovey-dovey attitude. 18 years of marriage should be that expectation. You know what happens? No. We're talking about the kitchen and how the kids are doing. Right? Right? But it doesn't matter because we've had the encounter that it builds the faith. I trust her character. She trusts my character because we're 100% into it. When it comes to the gospel of Christ, when it comes to us worshiping God, it's I'm 100% into you. It's not that you are fulfilling my needs. That gives me an encounter. So when I come to worship, I should come wanting an encounter. I'm wanting to encounter. I am going to give everything. That's why it says worship me with spirit and in truth. Everything I have, I'm giving to you. 100%. I'm giving it to you. Giving it to you. When I'm studying the Bible, 100% I'm into this. It's not just for me to find out what I need for this minute. It's 100% I'm giving this into you. When I'm witnessing to somebody at work or when I'm doing the things I'm doing, I'm 100% into Jesus. so that it's an encounter, not an experience. We did the ladies' baptism, and we did the men's baptism. When we baptized the men, we baptized 8 guys. The next Thursday I went in, had the same CO, Garner. I don't remember what his first name was. Met me at the gate, took me to the back. And I said, "How's it going?" He's like, "Oh, it's going all right." He says, "You remember that guy?" He named the guy. I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "You know how you baptized him the other day?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You know what he did as soon as he walked out the door?" I said, "What?" He said, "He stole a whole bunch of socks, stuffed them down his pants, and tried to get back to the pod." He said, "I told him," he said, "You just got baptized. You just got prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. You just had communion with those guys, and yet you're stealing socks? Don't you know?" And I said, "Listen, a baptism can be an experience or it can be an encounter. And it can either be," I said, "that's the reason I continue to come to church. That's the reason I continue to come and minister the word to them, because they need to learn how to encounter God, not to have experiences with God. Because experiences don't change you. Encounters change you. Experiences just feed that hunger that's inside of us." So I want you to know, I understand what it's like to come to church and just want an experience. I know what it's like to have my expectations raised and just continue to want, to want, to want. But I want to encourage you, if you want to be a John and not a Peter, if you want to be able to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb, and never fall to that place, you got to say, "You know what? Am I looking for encounters with God, or am I looking for experiences with God?" It's your choice. Because Peter and John were always the same. They went everywhere with Jesus the same. Those were 2 of the 3 guys that went everywhere with him. You never find him ever, if he took somebody with him, those 3 always went. But for Peter, it was all about the experience. With John, it seems to be, by the evidence I see, all about encounters. Because he knew he was loved. He knew who God was. He knew who Jesus was. And he understood that if I have encounters, I can build my faith. I can trust God's character. I can trust Jesus no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in my world. I can trust him, and I can follow him, and I can walk. And here's the great thing about John. They tried to kill John. They threw him in a pot and tried to boil him to death. And he did not die. And the Romans were like, "You know what? This guy's unbreakable. He's unkillable. We just got to send him off to some island or somewhere, you know? Just put him in exile so he can't be around anybody." And even on an island by himself in exile, he still writes the book of Revelations. He still encounters God. He still encounters Jesus. It doesn't matter where he's at, no matter what's going on, he is still encountering God to the end of his days. And I believe, most of the time I identify with Peter, but I believe if I could just figure out how John encountered Jesus, I have found the secret to the kingdom of God. And how I can satisfy my hunger, not with experiences, but I can satisfy my desire to understand why I was created, because I'm encountering the Most High King, the Most High God. And so I'm going to ask you, I asked you last week, decide how you want to come to church. Did you come to church for experiences, or did you come for encounters? Some of you made those decisions and decided how you want to come. Now I want you to bring your level up. Before next Sunday, I want you to see how many encounters you can have this week with God. Not experiences, encounters. So when something good happens, it's not about satisfying myself, it's about giving of myself. You know, when God does great things, because he does great things, he puts you in great situations, he gives you great miracles. If you're just looking at it like, it's good that I'm here. If you're that kind of attitude, great, you had an experience. Don't count it as an encounter. But it should clue to you, hey, I got the wrong hunger here. I need to find out this other ideal. So I want you to really work on dividing your experiences with your encounters. Now, when we get later on in February, one of the sermons I want to do is I'm going to actually do relationships with us as beings. And I'm hoping that I have the answer, or at least an part of an answer, of how to make your family have encounters versus experiences. Because we just came through Christmas. How many people had experiences with your family? It just, you raised your expectation that I don't ever want to be with them again. Right? Okay? You know, something of that nature, right? Right? We can have all kinds of experiences with it. But, you know, so in February, what we're going to start doing is talking about how we can encounter our mate, how we can encounter our kids, how we can encounter our parents, because I've got older parents. If we've just based our life on experiences and raising expectations, when I have to take care of my mom and dad or Rebecca's taking care of her mom and dad, it won't be as good or fulfilling as if we hadn't had encounters that we can build our trust in each other. So that's going to be in February. We're going to kind of continue this kind of ideal in more of a humanly thing. But I need you this week to start looking at your encounters with God or your experiences with God and try to transform your experiences to encounters. Just this week. Just 7 days. That's all I'm asking. And next week when we get together, I want you to come to the service and I want you to see if you've already practiced enough during the week that when we get together and we have praise and worship, now we won't be here. We'll be in Appalachian Trail. I'm expecting a big encounter, right? Not just an experience with God. I'm expecting an encounter. But I'm expecting that when I'm in Appalachian Trail, I expect you to come, and I expect this place to have encounters with God like it's never had before. And I want to hear the testimonies when I get back of the encounters of God that you've had. So in 2 weeks, I'll be back, but this week, so that when y'all get here and Josh gets up to do praise and worship, it's an encounter experience. When Jason gets up to give his word, and he's going to bring some guys from Be the Bush to come up and give testimonies, I want it to be encounters, not experiences. Because I know encounters will build your faith to make you more of what God's called you to be and answer the question that he's put deep inside of each one of us. Do we really matter? Does it really matter that we walk this earth? Do we really matter in people's lives? We can answer that with encounters, but not with experiences. So I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're not going to do a worship song here at the end because I just want to take some moments and I want to pause here and I want it to just be in silence and I want you to think about it. Dedicate yourself to it. And so I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to give you about 2 or 3 minutes to just really seek him for an encounter. That you've given us, and that you've given us some things to eat that satisfies our soul. But Father, more than that, we want to satisfy that deep, deep hunger that we have through encounters. Encounters with you, Jesus. Encounters with the Holy Spirit. Encounters with the Word. encounters with praise, encounters with worship. Father, this week, I just ask you to be available. This week, Jesus, I ask you to be available. Holy Spirit, this week, I ask you to be available for us to have encounters like we've never had before. Father, my deep desire is not to experience you. My deep desire is to encounter you, to build my trust in your character, to build my faith, to build up my most holy faith. And Father, I just ask for each person here, that Father, that desire inside of them would turn to encounters and not experiences. And Father, this week as they go through and practice encounters, spend time encountering, build those encounters, that they will experience, they will encounter, and they will hunger and thirst no more. Because Father, that hunger and thirst is not what we want. We want to be satisfied by you. We want to never be thirsty again. And as we seek the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to us because of that encounter that we have with you. And I just pray for your blessings this week upon them, and that their lives will so matter. Their lives will be so full. That when they lay their head down to rest at night, they know that they've encountered you. And they trust you in everything they do. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're